This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So joining us today, a goalkeeper who has made 180 career appearances so far, made his professional debut at the age of 18, and 8 years later finds himself at his eighth club, Ipswich Town Football Club, where he wears the number 28 shirt. Christian Walton, welcome. The eight stuff stops now. Sorry, I just went a little bit overboard with the research. How are you, firstly?
Yeah, all good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
It's Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon when we record this. It is cold today. I fear for you. Have you been training this morning?
Yeah, it was a chilly one. It wasn't one of the warmest, but it's that time of year, isn't it? So lots of layers and keep nice and warm.
Exactly right. And we'll talk about that and how the kind of role of goalkeeper is a bit of a harsh one in terms of the winter and the conditions and stuff like that later on. Obviously, first off, a bit of disappointment after last night. A night off for you, but bouncing straight back, obviously, with a cup match on Saturday, which you must be looking forward to.
Yeah, I think it's a big week with obviously three games. We obviously wanted to pick up three good results, obviously starting with Sunday. Wasn't to be last night. I thought dominant first half, slipped off at second, and then goes to penalties, and it's a toss of the coin really, isn't it, for penalties. So yeah, all focus on Saturday now. Another big cup game. I think we saw what Oldham brought to us in the first couple of games. So I think Saturday will be no different. I think everyone's ready for it, and we obviously want to progress into the third round, because then obviously the bigger teams are in and you can get anyone. So all ready for Saturday.
I was going to ask you about the FA Cup at the end, actually, but getting through the second round, obviously massive, and I'll be honest, I can say this, you don't have to, we've got a pretty lousy record in the FA Cup for the last 2 years, so I think we are kind of all praying for a bit of an FA Cup journey. Is there anyone, if we get through past Barry, that you're looking forward to? Because am I right, you grew up as a Plymouth fan, didn't you?
Yeah, I was a Plymouth fan. Still follow them now, family do, and got a lot of friends that support the club. So, obviously a trip home would be quite nice. But I think one of the Premier League teams would be the most attractive. When I was at Wigan, actually, we had a good run in the FA Cup, and we came across some really good teams and progressed well. And we played against Premier League teams. And like you said, the fans obviously at the club haven't had much enjoyment from the FA Cup in previous years, from what I've heard. So if we do get a Premier League team, I think, and do well, it does bring a really big buzz to the place and to the stadium, definitely.
Yeah.
Taking on the country's best. So hopefully we get a Premier League team.
I was going to say, I might be wrong on this. Did you play in that Man City Cup tie?
Yeah, I did.
You did? Yeah, brilliant. What a night that must have been.
Yeah, it was. Well, I'd say it's one of the best nights I've had in football. Honestly, it was one that I'll never forget. It was surreal. didn't really know what was happening at the time.
That was a crazy one. And a great night for the boss as well, by the look of it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I think we scored with about 10 minutes to go, and it's the longest 10 minutes I've ever had in football and will be the longest 10 minutes I've ever had in my life, probably. So, no, it was an unbelievable game. And then we were unlucky in the next round, to be fair. We played Southampton in the quarterfinals and dominated them in the first half, and were unlucky not to get the goal, and they obviously scored and then went on to win the game. So, but no, it was just unreal for like the whole club, the press coverage the club gets, all the media and all that sort of stuff. It's really good. And then obviously the fans are going to big grounds, but let's just beat Barrow first. And then,
yeah, exactly. Right. That's right. Yeah. I was very quickly. I mean, how do you prepare for, I mean, playing Man City, just, I guess they're like, you just have to remember that these are human beings, right? I mean, they might have better resources and all that kind of stuff, but at the end of the day, it's 11 v 11, isn't it? Is that the kind of mindset you have to take?
I think so, yeah. I think you've hit the nail on the head. It was like, you're watching their pre-match, like in the pre-match meetings, you're watching their clips and the manager's trying to pick out negatives, and I don't think there was any. So like, you're like, what chance have we got? But it's a game of football, the cliches, it's just a one-off game, and like you say, 11 men against 11 men. So it's, it's an unbelievable like tie if you do get it, and playing and challenging yourself against the best players in the world. It's surreal. But obviously win Saturday and then who knows?
Yeah.
Hopefully Man City again.
Fingers crossed there. Yeah, brilliant. I mean, we mentioned Plymouth. You've been with us since the end of August.
Yeah.
How are you settling in? I can say this and you don't have to. We know Ipswich is kind of in a little bit of the arse end of nowhere, but I guess you kind of know what that's like from the opposite side of the country, really. A small town you grew up in. Plymouth, probably the only team nearby, wasn't it?
Yeah, Plymouth. You've got Exeter, Torquay, but Plymouth were the biggest with the like centre of excellence academy structure when I was growing up. So, and obviously I was a season ticket holder, a big fan of the club when I was younger, so I didn't want to play for Exeter or Torquay. It was Plymouth only, and I just had my head set on that from a young age. And I didn't actually make a professional debut before I left to go to Brighton, but I was lucky enough to go back on loan and play for the club, and my debut was actually the local derby against Exeter. So I fulfilled the dream I always wanted as a kid, and that was to play at Home Park for Plymouth. So no, it was obviously brilliant to play that. But yeah, I've settled in well in Ipswich. It's quite a similar sort of place to Plymouth and the South Coast, really. Lots of countryside, not too busy, and it's a nice part of the world. And I've settled in really well, and I'm enjoying my time here. So long may it continue.
Yeah, and probably an area which takes the football super seriously and is really passionate about it, which we obviously are here. We've spoken about him already. Need to talk about the boss. Presumably, he's a big part of the reason to join us, because we mentioned Wigan a couple of seasons with him there. Presumably, he was a big factor in your arrival here.
Yeah, definitely. It was probably the biggest. Got to the end of the window in August, and I wasn't playing at Brighton, was down the pecking order there, and I just wanted to be playing football again. Had a season last year where I played twice in the cup for Brighton and in the FA Cup, and that was it. That was the only game time I really got. So for a player that had been playing season upon season out on loan, and then going back to Brighton for a season where I wasn't playing was difficult, and I just wanted to be back out playing and enjoying my football again and having that match day feeling when you wake up on a Saturday, nothing beats it. And obviously Ipswich, with the manager knowing me well, he got on the phone with a few days to go and asked, was I available to come and play? And yeah, I didn't have any doubts about joining the club, and I knew what a big club it is here, and obviously the fan base just from playing against Ipswich in previous years. And yeah, it was a no-brainer for me just to come and enjoy my football and get back playing and be part of a setup that I know well.
And from the inside, it'd be good to understand. From what we've heard, Paul Cook's team is all about the team spirit and building that, the kind of camaraderie and stuff like that. So that's presumably important, particularly as a lone player coming in or someone who's not new to the area. You want to kind of fit in with a squad where there's like a good feeling and an environment that's positive. And that sounds like he's big on that.
Yeah, he's massive. I think you can see the enthusiasm and stuff he has for the game on the touchline. If you sit that side of the ground, pre-match, post-match interviews, I'm sure are the same. Just loves the game, wants to do well, wants to be. He's a winner and wants to bring that to Ipswich Town. And I think some things take time, and I think that will be the case at the minute. But no, the enthusiasm and positivity that he wants around the place is infectious, really. And I think you can see that, like I say, from the way he is on a Saturday. So no, wanted to be part of it again, and delighted to be here.
Brilliant stuff. And I also have to ask, am I right that you played under Tony Mowbray at Blackburn as well?
Yeah.
He's a bit of a club legend here. What was it like working with him?
Obviously a lot different. I think every manager I've played for has been a little bit different in their ways. But no, experienced manager at that level, been about the game for years, managed lots of big teams, really, West Brom, Celtic, and then he's had a bigger stint at Blackburn. So no, it was a good loan for me. I actually played every game. Every game I played, 46 games. Obviously, the season was broke, but with COVID. But no, enjoyed my time at Blackburn, and it's a big Northwest club, really, with history and stuff. So no, Tony Mowbray was a good manager to work for.
Brilliant, yeah. And am I right as well? You had quite a young goalkeeper coach at Blackburn, is it Ben Benson as well? I was going to ask about coaching and how that's kind of evolved, because you know the goalkeeping position has changed so much in the last kind of 10 years or so. It's very technical now, very analytical, obviously the whole game is, and you're working with John Keeley at Ipswich. How have you found that evolution, and what bits do you focus on in the kind of coaching analytics area?
I think I've had a lot of coaches now throughout the years. Growing up at Plymouth, I had the same coach. Then moved to Brighton, had lots of different coaches. Was lucky enough to be involved in the England setup, so they're a different model. So now I've been fortunate enough to work with some top coaches in the country, and I think it's, as a goalie, it's just taking little individual bits from each coach. There's obviously going to be some things that you like, some things that you dislike, but I think ultimately is taking as much information and as you can to put into your game, and obviously adapting to different team styles. It is hard going on loan as a goalie, because you obviously got to join different teams and teams play different ways. Managers have different like styles of play and stuff. So no, I think the role of the goalie has developed massive over time. And I think it still is. You see the goalies at the top level are getting analysed to like the smallest things. And I think with the technology now, I think it's easy to do that. So I think being on top of your game and making sure as a goalie you self-analyse is massive. Because if you're not, someone else is going to be analysing you. So no. I love playing the position, obviously, because I have for so long. But I think it is an evolving position, and obviously, there's lots of young goalies now playing in the Premier League. Have come from abroad, and they bring a different style to the game. And then you've got like the English goalies, different style again. And I think it's a great match in the Premier League.
Yep. And John Keeley, kind of what's his style about? Because I, knowing that we were going to have a chat, I watched, I got a little bit, I'm a bit nerdy, I looked a little early and watched the warm-up. And to me, John Keeley, the other thing that I took away was, and it's similar with Malcolm Webster, who you might have come across, who used to be the keeper coach at Ipswich, his half volleys and his long-range shooting accuracy is unbelievable. He's popping in shots from all over the place. Yeah. How must it be to face him?
I've known John quite a long time now. Being a Brighton goalie back in his...
Yeah, a bit of a legend there, isn't he?
Yeah, so he's obviously got a lot of contacts at the club still. So he was out of work a few years ago when I was in the 23s at Brighton. And he actually came in and started to do a bit of coaching and then got offered a job elsewhere and took that on. And for those few sessions, I actually got to know him quite well. And he took a few games. And ever since, he's obviously followed my progress and... he actually wanted to take me to Portsmouth, and I went down and met him for a loan once, and didn't work out for whatever reason. And then obviously I knew that he was here. So it was an easy transition for me coming to somewhere that I knew the goalie coach, and off the pitch as well. He's just a great guy. I'm not sure if you've ever come across him, but he's one of the nicest coaches I've worked with, and wears his heart on his sleeve and just loves goalkeeping. And he's obviously done it for that long now. The experiences and the things he's actually seen within the game are just so helpful for myself, who's probably still classed as a younger goalie. It's great to have a person like that around me that's obviously been there. He's been out on the pitch in front of thousands of people, and he knows, he's seen every scenario. So he's there as like a mentor more as well as a really good coach.
That's great. Definitely the kind of, his positivity definitely comes across. Yeah. And we've obviously heard a few times from him, and that's great to see. And part of it to me feels like it needs to be fun and enjoyable. There's kind of a positive energy that needs to be there as well, because football's stressful enough, isn't it? And course, you know, the psychology of the game, it feels like part of what his approach is, correct me if I'm wrong, is partly enjoying it, similar to the manager in that respect.
I think sometimes a goalkeeper can be a lonely position, and I think you're working with the same people every day. Like the outfield players are obviously in their session, there could be 20 of them in a session. They're not having that closer contact with coaches individually. Whereas a goalkeeper, you're working as one of four in a group, and the coach has to drive the sessions. He has to make it enthusiastic. Everyone has to get on because you're in such a small, close-knit group that if you don't get on, it's an awkward environment. I've luckily enough not been in one of them. But I think as a goalie coach, you've got to have that enthusiasm and drive sessions and have a love for all your keepers, really, and be there for them, good, bad, on the pitch, off the pitch. I think it is a different group being a goalkeeper, and they talk about the goalkeeper union, and it is quite true. There's no other position on the pitch like it when it comes to your individual sessions and stuff like that. So, no, obviously a great guy and a great coach.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I was going to ask you, there's a couple of moments, obviously, from your time with Ipswich that really stick out. And I'm just interested to understand how much of that is just your kind of natural instinct as a goalkeeper and as a human being versus preparation and coaching. Obviously, that Wickham save at 3-1, I mean, hugely vital to make sure that we see that game out. Even the penalty save against Oldham, the Sykes save from Oxford. How much of that is just your innate instincts versus how much of it is preparation, knowing where to be?
I think a bit of both. I think preparation in that game against Wickham in the build-up, I just knew that you're going to be coming up against a physical, relentless, long ball team, and that is what they do. They don't come away from it, and they are like relentless with it, and that's why teams don't pick up many results when they go there. And they did all right in the Championship and were unfortunate to go down really at the end of it. So no, that I knew what was coming that night, long balls into the box, I had to be on the front foot, and I think the save came from a corner, so making sure that when, if I'm not coming for the first ball, I'm set ready for a header, shot, second phase, like their goal comes from a header or whatever, and another set play goal that they scored. And it was a good save, and I was one that I was pleased with. But I think it comes from being set and knowing what's coming, really.
Can you enjoy those moments in the match, or is it only when you look back afterwards? Because it's kind of job's not over until the final whistle goes. So you able to enjoy it?
At the time, I enjoyed it. Obviously, being the scoreline as well, it was 3-1. You've obviously got a bit of security with that. But no, that save obviously dampens down the game, really, because if they score, then who knows, they could get a bit of momentum in the game. But no, I obviously enjoy a save. Can't be for too long, but after the game, it's one that I'd look back on and be pleased with.
Because it is a lonely position as well. And I we talked about this before we started recording. I worry about goalkeepers in this time of year, and particularly for a team like Ipswich, there will be matches at this level where you might not have a huge amount to do. So how do you kind of keep that mental focus ticking over, and how do you prevent yourself from getting freezing bloody cold as well?
Yeah, I think it's the layers. I think this time of year it is cold. Obviously, it is cold, but I think the concentration comes from playing lots of games, really, like over a period of time, knowing how to get through a game and make sure your focus is bang at it, because your focus has got to be as strong at the first minute as it is at the 90th. And I think just making sure you're talking, organising, keeping yourself involved in the game, even if there's a corner, making sure you're high up out your box. If the ball does come out, you're on the front foot, things like that, just little things within your game that will keep you focused on the job. And I think, it comes from experience, really.
As you say, the kind of goalkeeping union is obviously, we hear about it. It's nice to know that it's actually a real thing. Who are the kind of goalkeepers that you obviously, you say you still, grown up, came into the Plymouth team, admittedly, I think you 16, you were on the bench, weren't you, for them, and then had to come back online to play. Brighton, 18, when you started. That's quite a young age for a goalkeeper. So who were the players you looked up to? Was Lario one of those? Stockdale, Kushak?
So Lario was my favourite goalie. I literally lived for him. School projects, it was on Roman Lario. I was fanatical about it. And it was, as any kid is really with football. I used to love him. And I remember once when I was about 5 or 6, I must have drawn a picture of him, gave it to him after the game, and invited him to my house to play football.
Did he remember that when you started?
He actually turned up at my house a week later and played football with me in the garden.
Really? So, wow. Didn't know that.
Yeah, it was mental. He was French. He was actually from France. He'd only been over for, I don't know, a year, not even a year. And I remember I gave him something in the... I went to get him to sign an autograph in the car park after a game. And I don't think I had the pen worked or... And he sent me an autograph after because he felt bad or whatever. So that was it.
What a guy.
He was my favourite player after that. And then drew him a picture, like I said, and he came to my house and invited him down. And he came down in a little beat-up old Nissan. with a French number plate, and he's coming to the Tender Cornwall. I don't know what was going through his head. He must have thought, where am I going here? Family made him a roast dinner. He absolutely loved it. I've still got pictures at home. It was mental, really.
That's unbelievable. I can't believe it.
Wouldn't happen in today's game, with things. But and then from then on, got really good friends with him. And then my dad got quite friendly with him. My dad's best friend, who was a Plymouth diehard for many years and followed the club, and he got friendly with him and still friends with him now. He still lives in the area. And then, funny enough, when I was 16, he was the goalie still and became goalie coach. So, it was a full circle, really.
That's amazing.
Crazy how that I came through and knew him really well. So he was the main one, really, that I'd looked up to.
Yeah, my first ever autograph was Craig Forrest. You might have come across. He was at Ipswich when I was growing up as well. Maybe there's something about keepers, because Craig, he stayed for absolute ages signing autographs. And I think, I do think there's keepers are slightly different. Maybe there's more empathy and understanding because you have to be so patient for a lot of the time and all that kind of stuff. Maybe that's something to do with that.
Yeah, I think I'm the same now. If I see people wanting autographs after games, I'll I'll never not sign them. Or like you hear stories that players walk off, or like you just got to give them the time of day, like give them your time. And I knew what it was like as a kid. I'd go to Plymouth games and wait for players after the game, because I'd go to school on the Monday and tell everyone, and that's made my week then. So
yeah,
I can do that for a player, or even if it's a pair of gloves after the game, whatever it might be. The small things I just think can maybe put someone on the path in football, because they might like look up to you, or so I think the small things like that go a long way in the game.
Brilliant stuff. Yeah, that's great to hear. And do you, you're kind of, in terms of the goalkeeper, where you said it's a kind of unique position, I would suggest you're probably, you still got ages to go in your career, but are you now starting to think about coaching, or are you starting to think about mentoring the younger guys? I know that obviously there's three kind of first team keepers at Ipswich, including you, but is that now something that you've got half an eye on, or is it you're still quite young in your career and still thinking about that?
I think you've always got to have a bit of an eye on the future, whether it's coaching, scouting, whatever you want to be, a manager maybe. Like it's you've always got to have it in the back of your head, but I think at the minute my main focus is playing, settling somewhere, and then over time I think you sort of fall into those jobs maybe. And goalkeeping is something that I would look to be stay involved in after that, like and help and use my experience, whether I played 200 300 games. Yeah, it'd be something I'd look into definitely doing after that, when I finish. But at the minute, I think it's just focus on playing, really.
I was going to say, because a lot of your career, people will see has been involved loan moves, but you've always played. So in terms of your advice to a keeper, if a keeper's listening, a young keeper, is it to play as much as possible? Is that the kind of philosophy that you've got?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think playing's the most important thing in any position, really. I think last year I wasn't playing, I wasn't enjoying my football. And sorry, really, I was in a good place. I was at Brighton, lovely training ground facilities, but I wasn't having that match day feeling. I know it was COVID and it wasn't really the same, but for any young keeper, I'd say go and play, whether it's non-league, like Southern Premier, whatever it might be. Just getting men's football into you at a young age. I think you look at if you probably looked at the Premier League goalies that are English, I know, like the lads that come from abroad or come from Europe, their pathways might be a bit different. But English goalies, I think Pickford, for example, had loans at Darlington, Alfreton Town, whatever they're called. And I think he went to Burton, Carlisle, like loads of loan clubs. And
yeah,
he's an England goalie. Ramsdale.
Joe Hart.
Yeah, Joe Hart. Ben Foster. Ben Foster actually went to a team that, like down in the southwest, at a young age.
Is it Truro?
Tiverton, he went. Tiverton. Yeah. And I know the manager there, and he said he came at a young age. No one had heard of him. 2 years later, he's getting a move to Man United. So, yeah, I think it's massive to be playing football and enjoying it and having that, Saturday feeling I talk about. It's massive for a goalie. And you just pick up experiences along the way, whether it's good, bad, mistakes happen. It's all going to set you in good stead in the long run. So, yeah, playing is massive.
Brilliant stuff. We talked a lot about football. Outside of football, what's the kind of stuff that you're getting up to? Are you a music? Are you a box set? Are you FIFA Football Manager, that kind of stuff? What's going on?
I mean, a big Football Manager fan, to be fair. Actually. So long journeys, especially from here. We've had a lot of long journeys of late. So we had Sunderland. So I spent a good 20 hours on a bus. So Football Manager got me through it. Yeah, box sets. I enjoy my cricket as well. So obviously the World Cup was on, which was enjoyable. And played cricket up until I was 14, and then had to make a decision whether I wanted to do football or cricket. So,
wow. Were you a bowler, I assume, because of your height?
All-rounder, actually. Right, okay. I think if I carried on, I would have probably gone more down the bowling route. But family was a cricketing family, really. No one really played football. So that's what I was brought up with, was cricket. Dad played, my brother still plays and coaches now. But no, I loved my cricket when I was younger. It was obviously just one of those things that, because I was in a professional club, I couldn't do both. And then obviously can't play now. So no, still follow it a lot. And I would love to still be able to play, because I love the day out. Obviously going on a Saturday, it's a long day, but it's not for everyone. But no, I used to love my cricket and still do.
or when the weather's a bit better, you need to head down to Essex, down to Chelmsford. And
yeah, I know. Yeah, I two men passed on the train the other day. I think the ground's just on the right hand side as you go up from London. So yeah, it's not far. So I might have to head down if I'm still here next year.
I'm the wrong member of our pod team to ask you about cricket, but I can ask you about Football Manager. Firstly, are you aware that Joe on our team is the ITFC researcher for Football Manager? And if you're not, he's unfortunately not here. Do you have any requests for your stats or any of your teammates' stats to be changed? Anything that jumped out that you're going to disagree with?
Question, actually, because I was actually all right with my stats, I think, this year.
Joe didn't do them, by the way, so that's probably...
No, I was going to say it would have been Brighton because I was late signing here, so... No, I was all right with it. But if I have any problems or I need any tips, I think...
You know where to go.
Yeah.
Any of your teammates, though? Do you play... Who's your save as, by the way?
Ipswich Town.
Is it?
I've gone straight to Ipswich, yeah.
Tell the boss.
I usually do a non-league, work my way up sort of job, but just know I went straight in with Ipswich. But no, I think I know where to go if I need any tips now.
Yeah. Is there anyone's stats that you're kind of thinking, well, I'm not sure about this?
I don't know, but I think... there's a few boys play. I think George Edmondson's a big Football Manager, plays with like some team in Poland and tries to get them in Europe and win the Champions League. So, but no, everyone was, I think, pleased with their stats from that. But I know that plays it anyway. So it's a good little contact to know now.
I'll give you his email just later on. Finally, then we mentioned it at the start, the FA Cup. Barrow on Saturday, and then a really tough run of games, and then the kind of pack out Portman Road stuff with Sunderland, Wickham, Lincoln. It doesn't get any easier, does it? What's your kind of hopes and thoughts for the matches ahead, and particularly the role that the kind of supporters can have? Because, you know, it's been a kind of up and down. It's been a tricky season, as we know, but then there have been moments of, you know, massive enjoyment and big wins and so on. So it's really difficult and being so up and down. What's the kind of thoughts for the next few weeks ahead?
I think just, I know it's cliche, but Saturday's most important at the minute. I think we just get through the FA Cup, and then we've got a Tuesday night where it'll be another packed out away end, which is unbelievable. Since I've been here, we've had the games that I've played anyway, Portsmouth, Wickham, Plymouth, unbelievable. Even at Oldham on the Tuesday night, there was a fair few hundred fans then. That is, I think it was like a third of their crowd was Ipswich or whatever. So on a Tuesday night, I told them it's unbelievable. And the away support and home support has been brilliant. And I think the pack out Portman Road that the club have put on, I think it's going to be brilliant. And obviously people get into games over a festive period. It's nice for families to get out and enjoy the football, because there's some big games coming up. And I think as a player, you'd like nothing more than to see a ground packed out, and to have that on in these games, especially in a busy period, will be brilliant. And I know at Gillingham on Boxing Day, another big away following. So, no, really looking forward to being involved in these sort of games. And as a player, that's what you want. And we've got to thrive off it and bring enjoyment back to the fans, because we've had some away days where we have done that. And the buzz on people's faces, on social media, whatever it is, like the message I've received, people are absolutely buzzing with the away games. And I know it can be, being a fan myself, I know it's a long, long old drive if you do lose a game of football. And looking forward to the festive period, because we've got some really big games coming up.
Yeah. Christian, thank you so much for spending the time talking to us. Some really fascinating insights. We obviously, all the team and all of our listeners, subscribers, wish you all the best, especially in the cold weather. And try to enjoy Christmas as much as you can as well. I know that's difficult for footballers too. And thanks again for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Hold up. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.